All right, good morning, everyone. How are we? Quick announcement, this will be the last Sunday of this series. Next Sunday, there's no Sunday school across campus. It's Fifth Sunday. So we are affectionately calling Fifth Sunday's Family Day. And so that's where all the family will come together in the sanctuary and worship together next Sunday. And then we'll go down after church to have a meal for Fifth Sunday. So just be cognizant of that vocabulary word. You know what it means? I just heard it said. I don't know what it means. Someone said be cognizant of that. So be aware. Yeah. Hey, Google that and tell me what it means. Make sure I'm using it correctly. I got it in my cogs. Thank you. I needed someone with a redneck decipher back there. Cognizant means it's in your cogs. Lee, I'm going to steal that one. The next time I use it, I said, as my brother Lee said, it means in your cogs. Second time I use it, I said, you know, I've heard it said. It means in your cogs. The third time, I have always said. I just want you to know the evolution of this theft, how it's going to happen. Pardon?
But we can't do that because the definition, according to Webster, is...
Oh, what does Webster know?
I know, because he says relating to, being, or involving in conscious intellectual activity.
Oh, well, that's... Yeah, it leaves us out. We're not equipped for that kind of work. So, I hope you guys have enjoyed... here's another one. Heretofore, I hope you've enjoyed this lesson. In this series, that's a highbrow way of saying up to this point. I got that one off of a late night talk show host back in the 80s. I heard him say it one time. I was like, I like that. I just don't know what it means. Heretofore. But we talked in week one, to bring everybody up to speed. Week one, we talked about how we're led to peace. Everybody remember that? And what was the text in that we studied when it says we're led to peace? And the main thought of that, we're led to peace, he leads me beside still waters, right? The psalmist says he leads me beside still waters. So we're led to peace, which the major takeaway with that is what? Sometimes peace is the fruit of just our environment that we seem to entertain. And so sometimes peace can be achieved just by saying, this isn't peaceful. Let's go over here. You know, and simply get in a place of peace, right? So sometimes, you know, we have to own the disruptions in our life is the takeaway there, you know, and do as the psalmist says, which is let him lead us. The next week, we talked about this. Peace is a person, right? Because Isaiah said what? He is the Prince of Peace. So peace is a person. It's not just, sometimes we deduce what peace to just an emotional state, a psychological state. But peace is a person. And as I have peace with that person, him and I are in fellowship and there's nothing between us, which they won't be on his side, but they could be constantly because I'm a sinner and constantly having to readjust my attitude that as I reconcile myself to him, his word, his presence, his attitude toward things. You know, because to me, the more and more I study this dichotomy between the law and grace, the more I can deduce it down to this. Yeah, that was... Oh, you're trying to tie... Yeah, it comes on automatically now. I need to fix that. Sorry about that. That's one little adjustment I need to make in the embed code there because it does come on automatically now, and I need to fix that. What was I saying, Jason? Do you remember? Where was I at on it? Peace, yeah, he's the Prince of Peace. And, you know, this is where the life of grace comes in and fills in where the life of the law fell short. To be legal is just to do the right thing, right? I can go through the motions. I can go the speed limit. I can talk to you and say nice things, but if my heart's not attached to it, then I'm just doing what? I'm just appeasing a standard, a law. And grace call is a deeper call, because grace is telling us, not only do I want you to do this thing that's right, but I want your heart to be in it as well. You know, and I use this thing that, you know, me and Pastor Terry have this inside joke. He'll ask me to do something. I says, not only will I do it, but I'll do it with bells and whistles on and whistle while I work. And it's just a little joke, because we've talked about the issue of, you know, people can do something and their heart not in it. And it's just, you know, you want your heart to be in it. You want, not only am I going to do this, but I'm going to do it with the right attitude. I'm going to do it as if I was doing it for myself. Right? I'm doing this as if it benefited me, when it might not be. I'm doing this all out, 100%, leaving everything on the field. Not just going through the motions to appease the Bible standard or some religious idea or what man is looking at me and thinking about, you know, but I'm doing it because, you know, and that's that deep call of grace, right? And that is where he says, peace, you can put on, you can dress up peaceful, but peace is a person. And as I get in fellowship with this person, the fruit of that will manifest. Rather than trying to come out here and just dress up on the outside, but actually do that internal work where the outside comes from within. And so that was week two. We got into that. Week three is for the one that we sort of took a turn, and it's always counterintuitive to think about. But what did we talk about in week three? We said fighting for peace. Remember that? We said you have to fight for peace. What was you going to say?
Labor
to enter his rest. It's almost like paradoxical, isn't it? You know, to the human mind. But to the spiritual mind and to the one with the mind of Christ, what do we know here? That peace, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. So the big idea there was, peace doesn't mean passivity. It's a victory won through the power of God, not our own strength, but the power of God, and maintained by spiritual discipline. So here again, we're not working for anything, but we're letting the spiritual tools that he has given us and infused us with, to we're implementing them, and we're putting them to work. We're not working for it, but his tools work for us. And so that was the major takeaway there. And then in week four, we talked about living as a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Lord, make me an ambassador of your peace. So we got into that. And so that's where we came up with this little board right here, that if you didn't see that lesson, I like that one because it's real applicable. Those are some of the lessons I like, because it's day-to-day application. It wasn't so much expository like the other ones. It was more theme-oriented there. But that was in Matthew 5:9. So we talked about active listening. And where do we get that? James 1:19. He said, let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak. And so we talked about, what is active listening? And then we talked about respond with gentleness. How do we get that? Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath. So we just went step by step in week four about living as a peacemaker, and what that means and how we can practically do that. And then week five was last week, and that was Lynn's favorite topic, where it says, Christ who brings division. Not messing with you. The peacemaker took out the one that was causing problems. I messed with you. So we did a little expository teaching on Luke 12 last week. Brother Jim asked about that one, and so we got right into it. And that's another one that's just sort of counterintuitive, isn't it? You think peace, and then Jesus comes and he says, "I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring division." That's what he said in his text. Now, what did he mean by that? You do it my way, you adopt my attitude, you start talking, acting, thinking, speaking like me, it ain't going to make people happy, you know? So then we got into, what do we mean by being a peacemaker? It's not necessarily, not at the expense of undermining his word and his way. And matter of fact, to expect these things, as Jesus lays out and talks about in Luke 12. So that was last week. So that was a great lesson. And so this week is week 6, and it's our final week. And we're going to go back to a verse we touched on, but we didn't really get too deep into it. And that was where he says in John 14:27, he says this. We've quoted it in here in some other lessons. But he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So this, in our final week, I was asking the Lord, you know, how would I capstone this lesson, this thought? How would I sort of bring sort of it to a close? And he quickened me to, well, how did I bring it to a close? Because in the context of this, where are we at, right? In the context, when Jesus said this, do you remember where he's at and what's going on? Anyone? Any takers? Any takers? Don't. In the upper room. He's in the upper room. So let's think about this. What is, in that context, what's going on? What's the mood of the what's the mood of the moment? Do what? He's about to go to the cross, and he's unfurling this divine plan in front of it. And how are they reacting? Some doubting Thomas, don't believe it. Others are saying, far be it, no way. They're fighting. In one way or the other, they're fighting this. They don't like it, because this is sort of like, this is where the rubber meets the road. And they're hearing what he says. They're hearing what he says as they walk with him this whole time. But then this is where they come to the cross. They're like, oh, he's serious. He's going to the cross. Because their idea of Messiah is being disrupted. Yes, sir?
I think also, you get in a rhythm, or you get comfortable with where you are with the Lord. And you're okay to receive instruction how you're used to receiving your instruction.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the instruction changes on how you're going to receive instruction.
Yes. Yes. So their whole relationship is shifting, and they don't like that. That's very uncomfortable.
I think the training wheels are coming off. 3 years. Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, wait a minute.
Exactly.
What's this Holy Spirit thing?
Yeah, exactly. They no longer get to touch it, feel it, you know, and then walk right up to it. And, you know, it's almost like the relationship's changing. They're having to put on their big boy pants now, because they're no longer going to be treated as mere toddlers, but they're going to be carrying some of the weight of this ministry, because up until that point, or my favorite way of saying it, heretofore, they had Jesus right there, right? And so he was carrying most of the weight. He was illustrating what was going on, you know, but now, oh no, what do you mean you're leaving us and you're sending someone else? And it's not going to be you. So that's unsettling. What else? What else is going on in this context of John 14? Anyone? Because I think if you understand the context of this passage, it gives more weight to what he's saying, because it's easy to say peace when it's peaceful around you, isn't it? Yes, ma'am? Well, John 14 is they're in the upper room, and he's talking about there's about to be someone that's going to betray me. He goes in and washes their feet, and they're about to have the Last Supper. That's that whole scene in the upper room. And then after this, he goes to the garden and prays, remember? And then he's... No, you're fine. But that's the scene. So if we understand that context, you can see when he says, I'm going to leave you peace, not as the world gives. And then don't let your heart, you know, it's sort of a joke, you know, that goes on. There's this guy I follow. He's a comedian. He's a Christian comedian out of Atlanta. And he always says these stupid things that, you know, it's meant to be funny. Now, if what I say next isn't funny to you, just know it came out of the heart of being funny, okay? From someone else that I'm quoting. So don't get mad at me. But he always gives marriage advice to men. That's his whole shtick. And he says, men, the next time your lady is upset, and then he has this illustration, this woman just going, I mean, she's not happy, and she's just giving him. He says, all you have to do is say, calm down. Don't let your emotions get away with you. And that will settle it. Now, everybody knows that's not the way. But what makes it funny is that's when someone is in their feelings, and it don't have to be a man or woman, it's just he's being a comedian. But think about this. When you're in your feelings, do you want to hear anybody say anything like, calm down? It's dismissive, isn't it? Pardon?
That's not active listening.
That's not active listening, right? It's like you're not validating the fact of why. It's almost like you're going past their reasoning, to the extent they have reasoning and rationale of why I'm in this state of being. So in context, we just talked about, he's saying, one of you is going to betray me. And so all of a sudden, everybody's ears like, what? Who is it? It was Jew. And they start, there's got to be this dialogue going on trying to figure out who it is. He's going on talking about how I'm about to leave you. But don't worry. I'm going to send someone in my place that's going to be a comfort. So they just been told that there's someone among us that's a mole. They're in them, but they're not with them. And so, you know, how many has ever been in an environment? Maybe you've been in a workplace. Maybe you've been in the military. And the thing that you've got to know when tough times come is we're all in this together. And if you feel like somebody among us is undermining it, what does that do? What does that do to the environment?
It tears it all down.
If you've ever been on a team, or anything, and you feel like one of us is not pulling in the same direction, what does that do to the team? And then you tighten up, you watch what you say, and all of a sudden you're questioning everything. Pardon?
Destroys trust
completely. And now everything is suspect. Why did Jim get that? Why is he blowing his nose right now? What does he mean by that? Did you see how his glasses fell off? That means he guilty of something. Something is bothering him. What's he trying to do? See how everything, when you're suspicious, everything becomes suspect. You question everybody and everybody. What did he mean by that? He said he liked today's Sunday. What did you not like last Sunday? You see how a compliment can be twisted? When trust breaks down, you can't say or hear anything, can you? Now, with that going on, that's the context. That's the environment. Our Lord says, peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Think about that. Think about the weightiness of that. He's in a room. He's got to know because he is Lord. He knows. Trust is broken down. Anxiety is high. So when the Spirit of God is quickening us to these verses right now in 2025, in August or whatever today's date is, everybody in this room is going through something. Everybody in here is being touched by life in some way or the other. Everybody in here, if we had time, we could stand up and take probably the full half hour we got left and talk about how the warfare, but how God's faithful, but there's a real war going on. We're not crying in our beer, as they say in the country music, but we've been real with it, aren't we? That we have a real enemy, and he's really, you know, he's really against us, but I have a real Savior, and here's how I'm seeing him show up.
But I feel like I'm on a roller coaster. How many of you ever felt like you're on a roller coaster? Roller coasters are fun, but they're scary. I don't have a steering wheel. I don't have a brake pedal. I don't have a gas pedal. I'm just holding on and say, Lord, be Lord. And sometimes it goes upside down and say, Lord, I really didn't like it. I know, but we got some more, son. Just hang on. And so all of a sudden, I'm having to learn to trust this seatbelt I got on, this ride that I'm in, and knowing that he knows that at the end of this track, I'm going to make it to the station. And in the middle of that, I'm being told, peace. Be still. I'm giving you peace. I'm sending someone that's going to make you more peaceful. Does that mean I get off the ride? No, you staying on this ride. You on this ride, son. Buckle in. Atmosphere changes. We see that in the manifest world. That same spirit that Christ is speaking, and that same voice that spoke to the storms that literally was thundering and lightning and wind and all this, that same voice that calmed the real storms has the same power to calm the psychological and spiritual storms on it. It's the same voice. If we let it. The difference between us and the elements out there is the elements don't have a soul, which means the elements don't have a choice. You and I do. So do we receive that voice or do we fight it? See, the storm didn't talk back because the storm is the storm. It has no mind. It has no will. We do. That's the only difference. The weather has to obey him. In his sovereignty, he set it up to where we don't have to. I don't have to obey him. You don't either. And therein lies the question. Will I receive this peace? What's challenging me from receiving this peace? It's in the passage right there. One of the things is, and Jeff alluded to it, is he said in himself, I don't give peace as the world gives. And I have been a consumer of the world's peace. Maybe you have as well. Maybe sports has been a way of you escaping from time to time like it has been me. I mean, there's a reason why my beloved game is called the American pastime. Why? It allows me to pass the time, to break away from the chaos for just a moment, and to put my mind on something simple like grown men playing a kid's game. The simple things of life. Nothing wrong with it, by the way. But see, what it's done is it's conditioned me to this is how you receive peace. What? Escape. And Jesus is saying, I don't give peace that way. There is no escape. You're going to stay in it, and while you're in it, I'm going to give you peace. That's exactly right, Phyllis. Yeah. Please, search me. Yeah. The heart of David, which the Bible says is what? Was a man after God's own heart. I love that. That's a great passage. That they didn't even trust themselves. I know me. I know what I can do. And that's the first step toward finding his peace. Is understanding, I don't even know myself as much as I, but you know me, Lord. You tell me. You know, I liken that passage. I've taught on that part of it before. Years ago, I went to, it's where they used to play the U.S. Open, out past Charlotte. No, it's way on past Charlotte, and you go up and it's Pinehurst. Tully Blanchard and I went out to Pinehurst, and this is back when we were playing a lot together, and he was trying to help me as a brother. He says, Terry, this is what you're doing wrong, this is what you're doing wrong, and I just, nah, you stick to wrestling. What do you know about golf? So we go out there, and he takes me to his swing coach, and his swing coach has a camera on me here, a camera on me here, and just had cameras all around me. And after a few swings, we go in, and they break down my swing like an unfolding lawn chair. I mean, you pronate and you prenate and you this, you that, you press and all this other stuff. So he fixed my swing, but I'm telling you, for the next year, I could barely make contact with ball because I was so used to swinging poorly. But eventually I got it, and I'm still a terrible golfer, but now I got a good swing. The point is, I look like I should be able to hit the ball, but I still can't. The point is this. It was them taking my actions that inside me, everything was right. I don't know what people are talking about. And they took it and they said, this is you. This is what you're doing, and this is why you're getting it. The disciples right there had enough awareness, self-awareness, say, Lord, show me what I'm doing. Show me my heart. I don't even know my heart. And it's until we get to that point that we can that he can start ministering to us, because he's a gentleman, right? He doesn't push himself on us. He doesn't just go in and just start working. You have to ask him. I give you permission, Lord, come in. Yes, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Uplifting time, good speakers. So when we go into this meal, they've eaten with Jesus many, many times. Mm-hmm. So this is, it's a festive occasion.
Yeah.
I mean, this is special.
It's during the time of the holiday or the yeah. They're actually there for the
Passover.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. He uncorks on him.
Yeah.
He tells him, here's the perfect person. This is the standard. And they went, whoa, wait a minute.
Oh, time out. Time out.
Hey, so this is rough here. I mean, how am I going to do this? And then you're leaving?
Yeah.
You're going to leave me and tell me all this?
Yeah.
I mean, that is something else, you know. And I know people who base their whole theology on that upper-room teaching.
Yeah. Well, everything's in context, of course, but it's just in the context of the teaching, which is peace. I think sometimes you can read that passage there and not give it the weight it is owed, simply because we exegete it out of the context of which it was said, who it was said, when it was said. So it's a whole nother thing to it being the fourth quarter, only 8 seconds on the board, and you're down 3 points, and the other team's got the ball, and then you say, hey, we're going to win this, and this out. Hey, chill out, we're going to win this. Do you not see the score? Do you not see the time? You know, if you understand those, then all of a sudden that teaching that he's given, it has new weight to it. So Jesus is in the upper room preparing his disciples for his departure. They're deeply troubled. He has just spoken of betrayal in John 13:21. He's spoken of denial in 13:38. And he's going away in 14:1-4. Into this atmosphere of anxiety and confusion, he promises another helper, the Holy Spirit, and then gives them this incredible gift, peace I leave with you. Okay? This is Jesus' farewell gift, not money, not property, not power, but peace. So after exploring how Christ's peace can divide in Luke 12 and how it's a contrast with false peace, here we end this true lasting peace that carries us forward. So here's the main points. Main point number one, the gift of Christ's peace. So verses 27a, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. In Jewish culture, peace, which is the word shalom, was more than the absence of conflict. It meant wholeness, harmony, flourishing, and security. So keep in mind, he's giving a loaded word to an audience that has a very specific understanding of what that means. So as he's saying, the world as you know it, and as Jeff has brought out, is falling apart, he's promising what? Not just a moment of feeling good, but he's promising what? He's promising that you're going to be whole. You're going to have harmony. You're going to flourish. You're going to have security. And they got to be like, what? This guy's got to be out of his mind. He just said this is going to happen. He said this is going on. And in the middle of all that, he flips it around and said, but you're going to be this and you're going to be that. So it's a great understanding of the heart of the Father. Jesus doesn't just wish his disciples peace. He gives them his peace. This peace flows from reconciliation with God, as we read in Romans 5:1. Read over there. So peace is not something we achieve. It's something we receive. So this is the point of when he says the gift of peace is this right here. The peace of Christ comes from me having a heart that's willing to receive. Because if you look at it in context, he's saying all these things are going on, which is true. And then he says, I'm going to give you peace. My mind would have been, how am I supposed to have peace, Phyllis? You just said this, you just said this, you just said it, and then you're going to say, I'm going to give you peace. What are you talking about? See, that's the natural mind. The natural mind cannot perceive the things of God. They just can't. But by faith, I can say, I trust, you know, apparently, my peace is not contingent upon the people around me being truthful. Okay, if someone's a mole, let them be a mole. It must not be contingent upon my understanding of relating to Christ a certain way. Man, I tell you, this microphone here. I cannot get this. My ear just does not like this mic. So he's disrupting our understanding of the source in which you receive peace, Terry. If you do not change it, you're going to have a hard time receiving this gift that I'm trying to give you. So that's point number one. Point number two, the contrast with the world's peace. Not as the world gives do I give you. The world's peace equals what? It's temporary. It's shallow. It's dependent on circumstances. Here's the other thing about the world's peace that I've always found just directly opposed to the way Christ gives us peace. In the world system, always, and I do mean always, you have to earn its peace. You have to earn it. You have to do something in the world system to gain the world's peace. Right? You have to do something to earn it. I have to give something up to earn something. It's a trade-off. I have to compromise. I have to do something maybe I shouldn't do. I have to do something. I have to earn it. Yes, ma'am. But his peace isn't...
Nobody walks with us in that.
Yes.
When we get that, I mean, it's like, it's really getting easy to see what we're to die from.
Right.
The world, its system, its hold, its control, and so he does. He invites us to die, and that's totally different from what they were expecting, or right. What I was expecting.
But the dichotomy there is, it's a gift from him, it's not something we earn. I have to do something to earn something in the world system. I have to violate my health and maybe even violate time that I should be spending with family to work 80, 120 hours a week so that I can earn this, so we can go have this little vacation here so that we can then have this temporary moment of peace. That's the world system. Where he's saying, you can have peace right where you are right now without doing anything for it because you didn't earn it. And that's the dichotomy. Yes, there are things through making him Lord that he's inviting me to that I get to experience more and more of what he's giving me. But it's not in the world system where it's a trade. Okay, I died today, Lord, so I'm expecting...
Even in that. Right?
Yeah, that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works, right? So, example, the Roman world prided itself on the Pax Romana. That's the peace of Rome. That's a Latin saying, but it was enforced by violence and oppression. So where we are all still trying to find peace in our worldly ways through possessions, approval, control, or avoidance, Jesus says, I give you peace. Isaiah 57, 20 through 21 says this, the wicked are the tossing of the sea. There is no peace. In Philippians 4, 7, he says, it's the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the third point we want to bring out while we still have a little bit of time is the results of Christ's peace, and that's in 27C. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The disciples were facing betrayal, persecution, scattering, and loss. Yet Jesus commands calmness of their heart. His peace doesn't erase trouble, but stands and steadies the heart in trouble. So peace isn't the absence of problems, it's the presence of Christ within the problems. So the Sea of Galilee story, we talked about that earlier, me and Miss Phyllis, talking about peace, be still, when he talks to the storm. So peace with God, Romans 5:1, receives reconciliation. Peace within comes from Philippians 4:6. Practice prayer and gratitude instead of anxiety. That's that famous passage in Philippians 4:6. With all things, prayer and supplications, let your requests be made known to God. Peace with others is in Colossians 3:15. Let Christ's peace rule our relationships and community life. And then peace in missions, John 20:21 says, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I am now sending you. So his peace equips us to go. So make sure I get all of this. Yep. So anywho, any questions? Did we? There are. Hey, Lynn, can you throw up that graphic with the QR code, Still Waters?
Oh, I got to know QR code.
Yeah, you can get it there, or you can go on the website.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's on there, or the website. But it was a... Nah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's the one that had this lesson on it. But... Yep, that there it is. You can get it right there, Lisa.
Now you're going to see how stupid I am watching.
Jim can't do it either. Thank you for letting me pick on you.
I have technologically challenged.
I told someone the other day, I said, I'm tech-tarded. We'll stop looking. Any more questions before we go? We'll dismiss. Did y'all get anything out of this series? No. But you can go there. The recordings aren't embedded in the lesson yet, but it will be by the end of the week. I wanted to wait till it was all done, but you can. The recordings of these will be in there as well. But everything we went through, from the practical applications to last week's Jim's lesson in Luke 12, and everything in between will be there. So. All right, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your peace. And, Lord, we ask you that you would continue to show us and give us directions on how we can become better recipients and better absorbers of what you're wanting to give, which is your peace, God. And we do pray, as David says, search us, O God, and let us reveal to us anything that's out of line with what you're wanting to do in us and through us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Remind them next Sunday will be Sunday.
Next Sunday, remember.